Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. As we heard throughout the season of Epiphany, which recently concluded, the ministry of Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, can be characterized by his teaching and by his working miracles. The season began as we heard that Jesus, as a young boy, taught in the temple with a wisdom that far surpassed any of those priests and scribes who were gathered there. We heard about his miracles, the changing of water into wine, the healing of a leper and a centurion's servant. Jesus taught. He taught the crowds about the kingdom of God. And he also did many signs, miracles among the people to confirm his identity as the only begotten Son of God, now come in human flesh and blood. We can also say with certainty that our Lord's teaching goes on to this very day. Our Lord continues to instruct us every day in his holy word as he teaches us the law and gospel. But miracles? It seems like that time has passed. After all, who among us has witnessed the unexplainable changing of plain, ordinary water into the finest wine? Who has had a loved one, or even themselves, healed instantly with a spoken word? I haven't, and I doubt you have either. And while it may be true that the time for these external miracles has passed, miracles that were wrought by God in order to confirm his word, which is now among us, it doesn't mean that Jesus, who still teaches us daily by that same word, has stopped working miracles. For a miracle is nothing other than an extraordinary event that surpasses all natural powers and therefore must be the work of God and God alone. And this extraordinary event, beyond all natural powers, happens every single time someone hears the word of God and believes it, whether for the very first time or every single time thereafter. For as we confess in the Small Catechism, one cannot by his own reason or strength, that is his natural powers, believe in Jesus Christ as Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit, God, the third person of the Trinity, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the believer in the whole Christian church on earth. That is a miracle. Salvation through faith alone, your salvation is a miracle that God works. And our gospel lesson today teaches this. After all, as Jesus instructs in the parable, how many forces are at work conspiring against that saving faith in your heart? Let's review. Jesus tells of a sower who went out to sow his seed, scattering it left and right, forward and backward, anywhere and everywhere he could. And some fell along the path, it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell among the rocks and withered away because they had no moisture. Some fell among thorns and were choked. Now what Jesus tells us in this parable is the struggle that is faced by every single Christian. The point of this parable today is not to try to discern what kind of soil you are, and far less is it to instruct you to try to discern what kind of soil you should plant the Word of God in. Everyone who hears God's word suffers these attacks. For first, there is the attack of the devil against the word. He doesn't want God's word to take root in your heart, because he knows that those who hear the word and believe it will be saved on the last day. And so he either tramples down that word of God like boot stomping down a path, tramping it down with false doctrine, or he snatches away the seed of God's word like a bird eating seed. You remember how he deceived Eve in the garden. Did God actually say? It's by that same sort of deception that he tries to take away God's word from you today, whether that be the law or the gospel, both. But Jesus tells us that's only the first attack. The second comes from the world, and its attack is testing, tribulation, persecution. And this can take all kinds of forms. Some of it's small and indirect, and really in many ways rather light. The ridicule of Christians and their beliefs in the media, politics, and popular entertainment. Sometimes it's more moderate, harsh words, anger, mockery in your face by family, friends, or coworkers. And sometimes this tribulation can be severe, physical abuse, torture, even death for the name of Jesus, as our Christian brothers and sisters often face throughout the world. Jesus said this would happen. Make no mistake. And so it does. The world, with all of its trials and tribulations, tests, both big and small, attack those who, with the word, who possess the word, in order to wither away their faith. But Jesus says there yet remains one more attack, an attack that is perhaps the most insidious of all. That is the attack of the flesh, your sinful nature, the old Adam. And this is the most subtle of the attacks against your faith, because it begins in you. Your sinful nature, which you inherited from Adam, seeks not the things of God, but cares only for the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. It makes of such things an idol, a false god. And while true faith may grow up together with such earthly cares and concerns and desire for earthly comfort, faith cannot survive for long in this situation, for as Jesus said elsewhere, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. In the end, there is room for only one Lord. The old Adam in you will do everything in its power to make anyone or anything Lord besides Jesus. So as Jesus tells us in today's parable, the attacks against God's word and saving faith are many and varied. The devil tries to take it away before it can even reach the heart, or trample it down before it can produce anything. The world tries to uproot saving faith before it grows too deeply. The sinful nature tries to reject it and choke it out. Indeed, the odds seem so highly stacked against faith and salvation that it might leave us asking with the disciples, "Who then can be saved?" Indeed, it seems to be a miracle that anyone would be saved, just given how the devil and the world and the flesh are trying so desperately to defeat the Word, to conquer Jesus, to end salvation. But a miracle is precisely what Jesus said would happen. He said in answer to the disciples' question, "With man this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." A miracle is needed for your salvation, and Jesus declares that he and the Father and the Holy Spirit will indeed perform that miracle, that he would sow and continue to sow the seed of his word in the hearts of people, a seed that would spring up and yield the fruits of faith 100-fold. And despite all the attacks of the devil, the world, and the sinful flesh, that he would strengthen and preserve his believers in that one true faith unto life everlasting. Salvation is indeed a miracle that God has worked in you. For again, it is an extraordinary event that surpasses all your natural powers, and therefore must be the work of God alone. And this miracle consists not only of the calling of sinners to faith by the gospel, out of darkness into God's marvelous light, but also the keeping of that sinner with Jesus Christ in the one true faith unto life everlasting. The fact that anyone is preserved a Christian is as much a miracle as anyone becoming a Christian in the first place. This miracle is worked by God and God alone through his holy word. So we heard the Lord declare through the prophet Isaiah this morning, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. As God has vowed it, so it is. His word works. Make no mistake about it. Despite everything the devil, the world, and the sinful flesh can throw against it, God's word works. And that's why no matter what happens to us, in the world today, whether there be wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, natural disasters, even if our giving should be down, attendance should drop, even if members should be leaving or dying, we as a congregation will never be a dying congregation so long as we possess God's word among us. We could literally lose everything tomorrow. This building, which we just paid off, could be destroyed, leveled flat. Our bank accounts could be emptied. Our very members could be persecuted and martyred. But as long as we possess God's word, our church remains very much alive in Christ. To tell the truth, it wouldn't be all that different from the situation that faced our brothers and sisters in the church in the 3 centuries after Christ's ascension, or again, which faces our brothers and sisters around the globe today. No sanctuary, but a spare room in a Christian's house. No offerings, but what is cheerfully given by the few faithful members. No earthly security, but that which is granted by God for a little while. And yet, in those first few centuries, the church under such dire straits grew and grew and lived because they possessed the word of God. That word that worked, that miraculously created and sustained faith despite every attack thrown against it by the devil, the world, and the flesh. This word, this powerful word of God has sustained the church from age to age, from first century Jerusalem, even here to 21st century Cheyenne, Wyoming. For week after week, year after year, faithful believers in whom the Holy Spirit through the Word of God has worked this miracle of faith have gathered together, sometimes secretly, often openly, sometimes few in number, today many, whether hidden in a spare room under cover of darkness or publicly for all to hear and see. Christians have gathered together to hear this word, this powerful word which alone forgives sins, creates faith, and gives life everlasting. Nothing else that we can come up with, no other words or efforts or programs or events can do this. Only God's word, the word of Jesus, the good news, the word of his death and resurrection for you and for the whole world. The word of how he suffered every attack and temptation of the devil in your place. The word of how he was nailed to the cross for your atonement. The word of how that cross was planted in the earth outside Jerusalem's wall. The word of how a crown of thorns was placed on his head and cut him, shedding his precious blood. The word of how he died and was buried in a tomb cut from rock. The word of how from that tomb, from that earth, he sprung forth to life forevermore on Easter, risen from the dead, living and reigning for all eternity, that you too may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him forevermore. During Holy Week, that is, just a few days before he died on the cross, Jesus would tell his disciples that his work of salvation was much like the work of a seed. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Our Lord Jesus did not want to remain alone. He desired your salvation. He desired to call you his brothers and sisters. And so, like the grain of wheat or the seed sown on good soil, our Lord came to the earth and died. To pay for your sins and the sins of the whole world. He died for all. And because he has died for all, he has borne much fruit. A multitude of believers from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. Again, you are his own. You have been brought forth as the fruit of his death and resurrection, sprung up from that good news that has been planted in your heart, a heart that has been made honest and good by the Holy Spirit working through that same exact word. It's all around the globe. The fruit of Christians has been born because the seed of the word has been scattered. Missionaries have evangelized. Pastors have preached. Parents have taught. Christians have spoken and confessed. To be sure, where the word has been scattered, it has been met with hostility. The devil, who trampled down and snatched away the word, the world that withered faith away with its testing, the flesh that choked away faith with the cares and riches of pleasures and life. Again, this is no surprise. Jesus said that this would happen. Yet despite it all, miraculously, the seed still has grown. The word is still working. For the word of Jesus is a powerful word that produces a fruitful faith. A word that guards and keeps you from all the attacks of the devil, the world, and the sinful flesh, and finally overcomes them and gives the victory. There are miracles still happening today. Just look around and see the miracle that God has worked in the hearts of all the people sitting here today. From the little children who confess with great joy and gladness that Jesus loves them because the Bible tells them so, to the teenagers who continue to confess Christ in word and deed in their schools, workplaces, and neighborhoods that increasingly ridicule them for it, to the parents who have set aside all the earthly cares and concerns of this life, sports and shopping, maybe even sleep, in order to bring their children here to this place to hear the voice of their Savior, to our older members who have endured a lifetime of birds and rocks and thorns and yet still come faithfully. This is a miracle, the miracle of faith, an extraordinary event not worked by natural powers, but by God alone through his holy word. For again, God has vowed, and he will not ever change his mind, "My word shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish that for which I purpose, and succeed in the thing for which I sent it." God's purpose is your salvation, and the salvation of sinners by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And his word has accomplished that in all who hear and believe. Your sins are forgiven. You have been rescued from death and the devil. You have eternal salvation. God has said so. By his word, he has succeeded in this thing. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.